Hey, so if you got your Bible, let's head on over to Luke chapter 5 this morning. Luke chapter 5, if you got your Bibles, you know you want to bring your Bibles. Or if you've got your phone, second best. You guys know how I feel about that iPhone business. But if you got the app on your phone, grab that. That'll be great. And we're going to open up in a word of prayer. I'm going to share some announcements, some things that are going on. And then we're going to get into the word. So Lord, we love you. Thank you for your word. I just pray that, Lord, even now you start preparing hearts and our ears and, God, just getting us in a place where we're pliable to hear your word and to hear what you have to say to us. God, that we'd have change, Father. Lord, that we'd have life in Jesus' name and have it abundantly. Lord, we want to know the truth that it would set us free. So speak, God, humbly. We seek your face and we ask in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. A couple announcements. We had a wedding on Thursday for Kelly. Hey, Kelly, where you at? Is Kelly in here? Kelly. So hey, congratulations to Kelly. If a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. Amen. And so that was pretty cool to be a part of that. Also, too, if you want to serve at Ark Bible Church, whether it might be helping with the kids or helping on worship, sometimes when we take time and we give our worship team time off, like we're doing right now, it would be awesome to have people who would be able to help us out lead worship. So if that's you, if you know how to carry a tune, and someone besides your mom tells you you're good, then come and talk to me. Let's go for it, and let's just see what happens. So worship team. Also, too, men's conference coming up, Calvary Chapel, Corvallis, which is going to be March the 3rd. Mark it down, March the 3rd, men's conference. Actually, wait. It's going to be March, I believe it's the 14th. It's the 14th, March 14th. So mark it down on your calendars, fellas, if you've got that slot open. Get with me if you want to go so I can get you registered, okay? And it's going to be March 14th, Calvary Chapel, Corvallis Men's Conference. And it's awesome because it's going to help and encourage us and strengthen us as men so we can go home and be the wife, the husband that our wives have always dreamed of. Amen? I know some of you are perfect, but Vicky's still working on me. So I need it. But that's going to be for us. Also, too, we've got the kids' classroom upstairs that we need to get finished. So if you're able to help out on a work day or something like that, Jesse's been doing a lot of the work up there. He's already got it started. We're blowing those classrooms out with children, which is awesome. God is good. But at the same time, we've got to make sure that we can keep up with it and make sure we get these classrooms finished. So if God lays it on your heart to give, do so. Because we're going to take that money and we're going to put it right back into the kids' classroom so these kids can have an awesome place to worship. We want Ark Bible Church to be so rad that your kids are like, we're going to church tomorrow, right? On Saturday night. We want those kids asking about it. So help us and partner with us if God lays it on your heart. Okay. That's it. Let's get into the Word of God. We're going to be in Luke chapter 5 this morning. So Luke has been showing us the life of Jesus, and we looked at the Lord's busy schedule on Wednesday night if you weren't here. You know, sometimes we get busy, crazy busy. A lot of you have kids, you got schedules, shared custody, total custody, single parent. Busy schedules like nuts. And one of the things that happens with our busy schedules is that we can get stressed over our schedule. Amen. And we can get short with the people around us and get nasty with people. But what we've seen is Jesus' schedule, and it's been insane. He goes to church, preaches a word, casts out demons, leaves church, goes to Simon Peter's house, heals his mother-in-law of a sickness, and some people say that's why Peter denied him three times. Bad joke. I don't know. Sometimes you gotta know your audience. You gotta know your audience. It looks like I owe you money. So Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law, and then after that, from that time forward, people are flooding Peter's house to get healed, demons casted out. People are coming up to Jesus with the coronavirus, coughing in his mouth, and he's just healing everybody. It says he healed everybody that came to Jesus, got healed by Jesus, and we believe that today. Whoever comes to Jesus gets healed by Jesus, amen? It doesn't matter if it's anxiety, worry, or stress, or physical. We believe that God's a healer. And so everybody that came to Jesus, he said he laid hands on them and he healed them. But here's the thing that really spoke to me as we're getting into Luke chapter 5 about his schedule is he never freaked out on people. He was never impatient. You know, he was present when you would talk to him. Have you ever talked to somebody but you're talking to them and they're not even there? You're like, hello, I'm talking to you. Vicky will do that on the way home sometimes. She'll be talking to me, and I'll be like, my mind's going in all these different places, and she'll look at me, and she'll like grab my hand. She goes, Jason, you're with me right now. Be present. And Jesus was present, and you know how he did it? By prayer. He was so busy, he dedicated the first part of his day to be in prayer and connection and communion with the Father, because before he met people, he had to be in prayer, amen? There's just some people you gotta be prayered up before you get around. And so Jesus, he prayed. How are you guys doing with that? You guys setting that time aside and getting with the Lord? Because I'm gonna tell you, prayer doesn't change our schedule, but it will change the way you handle it, amen? Things are gonna stay the same. Work's still gonna be bonkers. The kids are gonna be crazy. Nothing's gonna change. But prayer will change you in the midst of it. Sometimes we feel like when we pray, it does nothing. It's like, really? I'm just gonna sit and pray? Yeah. Because it's in that that we get peace, we get strength, we get comfort, right? So we gotta stay prayered up before we go get with people. And so Jesus has been praying. And now in chapter 5, verse 1, Jesus leaves Capernaum and he takes a trip out to the lake to call the apostles. Now this is where Jesus calls some of the 12 to be his right-hand men. So let's look at it in verse 5, chapter 1, verse 3. Are you there? Are you there? Okay, cool. All right, let's get on the same page. And so in chapter 5, verse 1, it says, So now, so it was, as the multitude pressed about Jesus, he's out on the lake, to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. And then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put out a little bit from the land, and he sat down in the boat and he taught the multitudes. What was cool about that is when Jesus gets up, it says that he preached the what? The word. It says they came and they were pressing about Jesus to hear the word. They weren't pressing about him to have a miracle, to have God change anything, but they came in to hear the word of God. For 4,000 years, they were waiting to hear from the word of God from God, and now they're pressing into God to hear it all over the place. Because you know what? The word works, right? We need to have the word in our life. We got to get the word that changes everything. It's how we live. It's how we breathe. It's the food that we need. Jesus is out there preaching, and there's so many people that they're like on lawn chairs, ice coolers, passing the beach ball around, and Jesus is out there teaching and preaching the word of God to them. And the reason why it's so important is, church, and maybe you don't understand this, but you can go years serving God, going to church, doing the Christian thing, and never knowing Christ. And there was a time in my life where I went through a season like that, where I knew the Bible and I was getting ahead and I was learning some stuff, but I woke up one day and I was like, man, it was like, I don't even know who you are. If you're gonna know somebody intimately, you gotta listen to them, right? Try to have a marriage where you come home and you guys are just like roommates and like, you know, you come home and you don't ever talk to each other. You know what's gonna happen? You guys aren't gonna have a very good relationship. It's gonna get whacked quick. And so Jesus is preaching the word because the word works. That's what we need. We need to hear the word. And it says that when Jesus was preaching the word to them, that they were pressing into him. We don't want just the word. We want contact with the word. Did you see what it said? They're pressing into Jesus. That means close fellowship, close contact. You know that personal space that we have at church because everybody's sick and we're just like, personal space. Like if you're like within this, right, it's uncomfortable. But they're pressing into Jesus because we want contact with Christ. Not just getting into the Word of God, but knowing the Word of God. And so Jesus, as he's preaching and teaching, it says that he's looking around and he needs they're pressing into him and they're going to drown him if he doesn't figure some stuff out. And so it says in verse 2, they sees two boats not being used. And one of the boats belongs to Peter. And so Jesus is going to call Peter, James, and John at this point to follow him. And what we know about these guys is he meets them where they're at. What are they doing? They're working. They're rough guys. It said they're fishermen, meaning that they were born with hooks in their mouth. These guys are rough, gnarly, and you know what Jesus does? He shows up right where they're at, plugs into them, and he changes them. Because Jesus meets where we're at, not where we should be. Has that ever happened to you? Were you right before God showed up? No. And it says that he's going to show up and he grabs this boat and he pushes out. And I thought it was so cool that when Jesus did that, because he's looking for an opportunity to preach the gospel and all he sees is obstacles. But how many of you guys know that if you look real hard, you can turn an obstacle into an opportunity to share the word of God? Amen? And it's not about the methods, it's about the multitudes. Hello? And we need to do that like Jesus did. Look for opportunities out of obstacles to share the gospel. If you're sick and your body hurts, that can be an obstacle you can use to bring Jesus into the situation for somebody else. If you're laid off from work and you're going through a difficult time, that's your opportunity to turn that obstacle into an opportunity to show your faith in Christ, that you know that no matter what, he's going to provide for you. See, there's obstacles, but we can turn them into opportunities. That's what he does. He turns an obstacle into an opportunity. He starts preaching the word of God, and they start coming out. In verse 3, it says that he was preaching from the boat. And in verse 4, check this out. This is so cool. It says, now when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. So Jesus is preaching a message. Peter's out there. Picture it. He just got done working all night. He's spent. And it's hard work. Any of you guys fish? You know it's not easy. And then when you're in, you're doing boat work. So you're never really off. People look at you guys and they're like, oh, you're in for 3 weeks? How cool is that? And you're like, I'm still working every day, right? You don't have no time off. And so they're out there and he's spent, he's tired, he stinks, he's hungry. And he's listening to Jesus preach over here the whole time. And then after he hears Jesus, it says when Jesus stopped preaching, he asked Peter to grab his boat and to push out for a little bit. In fact, when in that verse, it says that he told Peter, he says, push out to the deep. He doesn't even ask Jesus. He doesn't even ask Peter. You know, what he's doing is he's taking control of Peter's life. Because he had asked to borrow the boat, but once he was in it, he told the boat owner where to take the boat. And see, I want to tell you guys something about it. God wants total control of your life. The problem with that is we want Jesus in the boat, but we want to tell him where to go once he's in there. And see, that doesn't work with Jesus. what he says is, if I'm going to be in this, you're going to listen to me. He tells Peter in verse 4, he says, launch out into the deep. I'm taking control. And I started thinking about when my girls were learning how to drive, they would ask me, I don't know why. They wouldn't ask Vicky. Maybe she was smart enough not to take them. But they'd say, Dad, let's go drive. I'm like, okay. And I would take them driving. And when we would go, they would do stupid junk. And they would want to, like, take the car and, like, drive it off of cliffs. So I'm in the passenger seat, and I would grab the wheel. No! No! Right? Because I'm there. I'm an innocent casualty to all of this. And it's almost like this is the part that I didn't understand, is they would get mad at me when I would jerk the wheel. What are you doing? I'm saving us because you're nuts and you're going to drive us off a cliff. That's what I'm doing. I'm taking it over. That's what I'm, because I want to go home. I want to live. And they would look at me like, what are you doing? And I started thinking about how sometimes when we're with the Lord, and we're going through this life, and sometimes we'll be going in a direction, and he yanks that wheel, and he goes, nope, not that way. Does that ever happen? You're going in a direction, you got your mind made up, plans are happening, it's all good, and then all of a sudden, nope, give me that wheel, nope. And you're like, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm saving you, because you're going to get in a wreck. Nope. And see, we don't want Jesus just to be in our boat, but we want him to have total control. Because what we're going to see is Jesus is taking him into a place of blessing if Peter could just wrap his mind about trusting God to get him to that blessing. Because sometimes when God's jerking the wheel, yanking us around, the tendency is not to trust, but to get that wheel back in our hands and say, no, Lord, you don't know. You're going in the wrong direction. The Lord knows where he needs to get you, and he knows how to get you there. And there's tension in that because Peter is going to have a problem with it as he goes. And it says in verse 5, I love this, he says to him, Master, we have toiled all night, and we've caught nothing. Nevertheless, would you say that word with me? Nevertheless, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. So Peter gets his 2 cents into Jesus before he gives him control, and I get that. It's kind of like your kids. You tell them to take out the garbage, and they got to get their 2 cents in there. It's not even all the way full. Shut up. Do what I told you to do. Take it out. Just listen to what I'm trying to tell you. And then they take it out. You guys with kids, you know what I'm talking about. You tell them to do something. It's why? Because I said so, that's why. And so Jesus tells them, listen, I want you to push out and go deep. And what Peter does is he tells them that they have toiled all night long. When Peter calls him master, he's calling him boss. He's not calling him Lord of his life right here. Like, all right, boss, whatever you want. I mean, if that's really what you want to do, then we're going to do for it. Then we're going to go for it. And he says, we've been toiling all night and we've caught nothing. I've been working it. I know where to go. I kind of know about this fishing thing. You know about teaching. I know about fishing. I've already been out there. And there's nothing. And trust me, we're sore, we're tired, our hands are blistered up, we stink, and we just want to go home. I've been doing it. I wonder if you've ever did things your way and you ended up getting skunked. And for our fishermen homies, you guys know what skunked is. You get nothing. You just get wrecked. Have you ever done it? Have you ever done things your way and in your thinking, in your timing, in your power, and in your strength. And then you're like, man, I am so spent. I don't even want to try anymore. See, one of the things about this that I like about Peter is that when he tried before and failed, you know what he does? At least he's got the guts to get back up and try again, because there's a lot of people out there that when God tells them to do something, they stay down instead of getting up because they've tried to do it in their own strength and failed. And Jesus says, let's get back in the boat and do it my way. And that's a word for us, church. I'm trying to tell you right now. See, when we do things God's way, we get blessed because of it. And we can try, we can have toil. He calls it toiling all night long, working so hard for so little. And then at the point of it, and he's at exhaustion. But what does Peter say? He says, nevertheless. Nevertheless, it's your word, I'm going to do it. Nevertheless. Now, if I was Peter, I could have come up with some excuses. And I think you would have too. This guy doesn't know about fishing. It's in the middle of the day. Your mouth preaching has scared the fish off. I mean, let's think about it, Jesus. You don't even got a fish finder, man. We've been there. But instead of making excuses on why they shouldn't go, he submits and he says, nevertheless, I'm going to go. And you know what? We got to get to that point, church, in our life where when God asks us to do things, it does not make sense. Did you know that God will ask you to do things that makes more sense to him than it does to you? But if you get to that place, like Peter gets to that place, at least he says, nevertheless, it's your word, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to do it. And we're going to see something about Peter as we're getting ready to finish this up, and it's this. He said yes with his mouth, but he was saying no with his heart. Wasn't he? Is that okay to do? To obey God with your life, but disagree with him in your heart?
Not if you want grace.
I'm going to show you what happens. So Peter, he doesn't make excuses, but he tells the Lord, nevertheless, we're gonna do it. We're going to go for it. Because no matter how smart we are and what we're doing, Jesus is smarter than us when we do it. Did you know that? He's a fisherman. He knows the fish. Jesus is a teacher. But no matter how smart Peter is, Jesus is still smarter at what Peter is smart at. So if you're a good parent, I wanted to tell you that Jesus is better. And if you know how to go to your job and do a good job, let me tell you something about Jesus. He knows how to do it better. And if you think you're a good spouse, just ask the one you came with today, or trust me, Jesus knows how to do your marriage better. And that's why, when it comes to whatever, if it's our singleness, and we've done things on our own, maybe it's been our marriage where we've tried to do that on our own, raising kids the way we think they need to be raised. But I want to tell you something, when we do it God's way, we get blessed for doing it. And so Peter says, nevertheless, hops in the boat, and in his heart, he's thinking, man, this is just crazy. But he goes for it, and he does it. And it says in verse 6, and when they had done this, they caught a great multitude of fish, and that their nets were breaking. So Peter obeys, and he's so blessed that he can't even contain it. The nets are breaking. And what that shows us is that when we do things on our own, it's a lot of toil and it's a lot of work. But sometimes we can go back into doing the same thing. Relationships are relationships. Marriages are marriages. Kids are kids, whatever. But if it's directed by the Lord, it's completely different. And so it says that there's all these fish and they're breaking through the nets. And that's the same thing with us. When we listen to the Lord, we see results. Prayer gets answered. Lives change. There's strength. There's forgiveness. There's healing. There's power. And letting God direct you in what it is that you're good at, that what you know about, what you've tried before that didn't work. If we say, okay, God, this time we're going to let you direct it, man, there's blessing, right? Simple obedience. And so Peter's so blessed, he calls his partners to come and help him out. Check out verse 7. And so he signaled to the partners. This was James and John and the other boats to come and help him. And they came and they filled their boats so that they both began to sink. Jesus has blessed him so much, his boat is going down, so he's got to call other people to come and to help him out. And Peter, you know, the thing about Peter is when that was going down, church, he didn't see all of that work and say, you know what, I got this, I'm going to do it myself, I got Jesus in my boat. It's just, all I need is Jesus. And Jesus is like, you better call for backup, Peter. So he's calling out to all his friends. He's like saying, listen, come and help us out. And we got to have that mentality with our brothers and sisters too, is that when they need help, that we go and we help them when they call out to us. And I'm so thankful for that. Listen, whether it's a church down the street that way or a church down the street that way, I am so thankful that our little church actually does a lot in the community. It was our little church that started CASA. When the Lord laid it on our church's heart. We're going to do an event and we're going to raise thousands of dollars. And we raised over $8,000. And then we came up with this idea, hey, so we were helping them out. And then we're like, for families, Safe Families for Children, next door, we did an event at South Beach Church, over $10,000. And then we did, then we've done all these programs and we've been helping other churches with worship. They need help with worship. And so we send people up there to help them through their worship. I just thank God that he's blessed us so much that we're in a position where we don't have to take, but we're in a position to give. Is that good? We are small, but we are strong. And so he calls out and he gets his partners over there and they're all helping him get everything into the boat and they're dragging it up and helping each other out. And then in verse 8, Peter, I love Peter so much. And the reason why is because I see so much in me and him. This guy was just a hot mess. Wrecked. God blesses him. Now, you remember how I told you he obeyed him with his life, but he disobeyed in his heart? I'm going to show you what happens when you do that. In verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." When Simon Peter saw it, what? What's the it? You think it's the fish? Think it's the miracle? When Simon Peter saw it, is it the miracle? Because if you say, yeah, I got a problem with it, because here's my issue, he's seen miracles before. He's been walking, listen to this, and Luke, we see this in the other gospels, right? Synoptic gospels mean the same picture from different views, okay? Same picture, different views. Do you know that they've been walking with Jesus for a year and a half at this point? Peter just got done seeing Jesus cast out demons, right? In chapter 4, we read the Bible, okay? So we know what's going on. Chapter 4, Jesus casts out demons. Chapter 4, Jesus stands over Peter's mother-in-law's fever, and he rebukes it, and he heals her up. A fever, By the way, God's not just concerned about big things, but small things, amen? But that's neither here nor there. Let's keep moving. So is it, Peter saw it, was it the miracle? No, it wasn't. But I will tell you this, it was the miracle, and you don't want to miss this. It was the miracle that was done in Peter, not somebody else, that made Peter drop to his knees and say, oh my God, I am a sinful man. Depart from me, O Lord. Because you can see God working in other people's lives and you can watch what he does in someone else. But let me tell you something. When God does something in your life, when he blesses you, when he provides for you, when he heals you, when he does something for you that nobody could do for you, and that happens, it's you see it. Do you see what I'm saying? You see the it. And the it is in you. It's him working in you. It's him flipping the switch in you. And you sit down and the only thing you can do is say, oh my God, I do not deserve this. Because the goodness of God to us should always bring out the humility in us. That's the thing. That's the thing where you're like, man, do you ever get up in the morning and say, God, you've been so good to me. Things aren't perfect. I'm struggling. I'm tough, but my kids are okay. I'm okay. You've got this. You're making a way. And you say, God, am I blessed? I don't deserve this. That's the it. And so when Peter, he says that, that's the attitude we need to have too. Because God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So I wanted to give you a little life hack. If you want God to bless you and be with you, be humble before him and men. So Peter, let's wrap this up. It says in verse 9, for he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, the partners of Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. Well, what makes you think he's afraid, Jesus? You just got done dropping 30,000 in the boat. I would have been like Vegas. In a Christian way, I would have went to all the Christian churches in Vegas. What you afraid for? Peter? I wonder if it was because realizing his sinful condition, he was afraid if Jesus would accept him there. I wonder if the do not be afraid meant, are you still going to walk with me? Are you still going to love me? You still going to make a way for me, Jesus? Because I'm scared about it. You know me, I'm undone. And can I tell you that sometimes we can get like that with Jesus, where we're walking with him and he shows us our sinfulness and the first thought is, are you going to stay with me? Even though you know me? And the Bible tells us in 1 John, I think it's in chapter 2, if our heart condemns us, he's greater than our hearts, because he knows us and he loves us. And he gets us right where we're at. And it only gets better with Jesus. And so he tells Peter, he says, don't be afraid. From now on, you're going to be catching men. In other words, I saved you so that you would serve others. And what's he tell him? He says, you got to go out into the deep to catch these fish. And that's what God's called us to do. You know what? We get saved to serve. Did you know that? What happens when you give your life to the Lord? Come to church, you get baptized, take naps, mess around on Facebook, waste your life. Is that what you do? Or do you get busy? You don't want, this is not confession time. Our brother wants to be healed. So he's like, so this is what happens. You know what we do? We go out and we serve. And we go out deep, meaning we don't cruise the shoreline of other Christians to get them into church. You know what I mean? Hey, God bless them. We're opening the doors up because we're going to build you up in the name of Jesus. But when he's saying you're going to be catching fish, he's saying you're going to have to launch out. You're going to have to push off. You're going to have to go farther than just your Christian brothers in different churches and trying to drag them to one church to another. Go out deeper. And so he finishes with this. And worship team, come on up. We're going to close with this. He says, from now on, you're going to catch men. And so when they had brought their boats to the land, they forsook all and they followed him. All of it. When it says they forsook all, it also meant all the fish, all the money, all the profit, all the skrilla. And they left all of it and they followed Jesus. And this morning as we close out, I wanna leave you with this thought. And this is where you guys are going to put it on Facebook. You're going to tweet it out. You're going to write it down. You're going to get it tattooed in a place nobody can see it. And it's this. Let it go. That's what you're going to leave here today. Let it go. See, when he called them, he said, listen, you guys, there's this work I'm doing in your life. And what is amazing to me, when Jesus was having this conversation with them, he didn't say, go ahead and leave it all. Now, we do know Jesus has asked that of somebody else. But they saw and tasted the goodness of God, that no matter how much money, no matter how much material blessing, no matter what it is that's around them, that compared to Jesus Christ, they can just walk away from it. It's nothing. They let it go. And had they not let it go, they would have had this garbage following them their whole life, getting in the way of everything that they were doing. They had to get to a place to where they let it all go for Jesus. And when they let it all go, God blessed them so richly in so much, church, that the world's never been the same again. And so I want to ask you guys, as we close out this morning, what is it that you need to let go? What is it in your life that you're holding on to that you know for a fact God's been saying something to you, that listen, if you keep this going, if this stays, all it's going to do is catch you up and hinder you. And you're going to be looking back and you might have wealth and you might have health and you might have all of this, but you're going to find out you don't even know Jesus and you don't even know where you're going or how you're going to get there. And it's worthless. It's nothing. What is it you need to let go that God's been laying on your heart? And second, maybe you're here today and you're like, Jason, I'm doing pretty good. I've let dope go. I've let anger go. I've let my depression go. I've been forgiving people. I've been here, man. I'm doing it. God's working in my life. Well, let me ask you something. What are you doing now? Are you pushing out? Or are you just sitting around the shoreline hanging out with, hey, God's changed me, but I'm not going to tell him about changing anybody else? So I want to encourage you, let that go and push out and let's see what God does through his people who forsake all for the glory of Jesus. Amen. Let's give God praise this morning. Hey, would you stand with me? Let's stand this morning. We're going to close out in a word of prayer. And I wanted to just say, listen, I love you guys. I'm so thankful for all our guests here today, for you guys listening online. I'm just thankful that you guys showed up today. And I do believe that God spoke a word to you. I believe everybody in here got fed today. And now what we need to do is take what we have been given and give. And if you're here this morning and maybe somebody dragged you in here, and you haven't given your life to the Lord, and you've been doing things your own way, you've been toiling all night, all year, all month, whatever, God wants to give you rest. God wants to give you peace. Did you know that? He wants to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you. When he said, listen, I want you to catch men, you know what we do? We catch, he cleans. No fish come in clean. And if you're here today and you feel like you're filthy and you're dirty, listen, it's okay. Let the Lord get a hold of you, because he's going to do a work in you this morning. So would you bow your heads with me? Let's ask God into our hearts this morning. Father God, in Jesus' name, we ask that you forgive us of our sins. We surrender our life to you. You're the only one that has the words of life. Cleanse us. Wash us. Make us new. Give us the strength and the grace to forsake all for the glory of your name. In Jesus' name.